This week we'll be doing Yevamos Daf Tes. We left off on Daf Ches Amud Beis, about 9 lines up from the bottom. We were discussing the source for the Isser of Tzaras Erva, that when a woman who's an Erva falls to a Yavam that she's one of the Arayos to, so obviously that Yibam is not going to take place, but the Chiddush is that even her co-wife now is Pater from Yibam as well. So we saw that the Shita of the Rabbanan on Daf Gimel Amud Beis was that Tzaras Erva, the koif of an Erva, is Usar, is Pater from Ibn Chalitza, from the Pasuk of Litzror, which refers to a co-wife having the same Isser as the Erva herself. But on Chesam Abiz, we quoted a different opinion of Rebbe, who learned it out from a different source. From the fact that the Pasuk says Velakha, as opposed to Velakach, is teaching me that only when both women can marry the Yavam, when they fall to him, that's when they're Shaychas to Ibn Chalitza. But if both can't, because one of them is an erva, then neither can. And the tzaras erva is usser as well. So that's Rebbe's source from Lacha, and the Rabbanan source is from Litzror. So now the Gemara asks, for Rabbanan, haivelacha mayabdile, if the Rabbanan learned from the pasuk of Litzror, the isser of tzaras erva, then what do they do with Rebbe's source of the isser of tzaras erva, namely the phrase vilacha? Says the Gemara, mi boiluhu l'chereb Yosi bar Chanina, So v'lakha teaches me that when a yavam consummates the yibam and has bia with this woman, so she is like his full-fledged wife, so much so that even though before he did yibam, he could have done chalitza, and they would have got out of that relationship, once he consummates the yibam, the only way out is with a get, because they are fully-fledged husband and wife. And he can take her back if he divorces her. We don't say, oh, it reverts back to the Isser of Eshesach. Once they're married, they're married. Now they're a fully married couple like any other married couple. And if they get divorced, they can get remarried if they wanted to. And what about Viyavma? Al-Karcha, Rabbanan say that Viyavma teaches me that the Yavam, if he has Yibam with the Yavama, Al-Karcha, against her will, it's still Chal. We say the Yibam is still valid, they're still considered married for all purposes. I have a Rebbe. So Rebbe, who uses the word Vilakha and Viyavma to teach me other things, as we said earlier, where does he know that a Yavam and a Yavama are fully fledged husband and wife, and that the Yavam can do Yibam Bal Karcha? Says the Rebbe Yosef Bar Chanina, Rebbe learns out that they're fully fledged, they're married, Mivuli Isha Nafka. Says V'haisol Isha, she'll be his wife. So we see it's a full-fledged wife. And Al-Karcha is mi yavama yavo aleha nafka. The fact that it says that he will have Yibam with her, but he uses this double lashon, it sounds like it's referring to the fact that if he does it, it's going to be valid no matter what, even if it's against her will. Rebbe, hay aleha me'avid le. Now Rebbe, as opposed to Rabbanan, who had Litzror, and they had aleha, if you remember from Daf Gimel Amud Beis, that was the source that an Achos Yisha also cannot do Yibam. But Rebbe, who's learning everything out, both Arayos and Tzaros, from Vilakach V'Yavma, he doesn't even need a Pasuk for Arayos, so what does he do with the seemingly superfluous word of Aleha, which the Rabbanan used to teach me the Isser of an Arayos, but according to Rebbe, it's unnecessary. So according to Rebbe, what do you need Aleha for? So Yibayah Lechid Tanya, they need it for the following braisa. So for the next half an amud, we're going to get into a sugya in Horios. And the Mishnah in Horios teaches us, Ein chayav in beistin, ela al davar shizon al karsh, v'shigaz al chatas. So the background here is that the Maseches Horios is discussing a case where a beistin, let's say, issued a ruling that was incorrect. So let's say, for example, they paskin for everyone that chilev is mutter, when in fact chilev is aser. So if it then becomes known that they were wrong, so a certain korban has to be brought, called a par helam davar shel tzibor, which means that if most of the tzibor followed that incorrect ruling, there's a certain korban that's brought. Now the question is, what type of avera do they have to make an error on that would then require this korban? So the Mishnah over there is saying that the type of avera that would warrant such a korban, if they made an error, would only be an avera that if you would do the avera b'mezid intentionally, you'd be chayav kares. If you did it unintentionally, you'd be chayav karban chatas. So again, a classic example of that would be the Isra of eating Chelev. And V'chein HaMashiach, and similarly the Kohen Mashiach. So the Gemara in Horios talks about that not only does the Beis Din have this Karbon that has to be brought if they make a mistake, but also the Kohen Gadol, if he issued a ruling for himself in error and then realizes it, he has to bring his own Karbon for that incorrect ruling. And again, the only Avera that would warrant such a Karbon from the Kohen Mashiach, again, he's called the Kohen Mashiach because the Kohen was anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. So the only type of Avera would also be one that if you did it b'mezi, you'd be chayav karis. If you did it b'shogig, you'd be chayav chatas. And similarly, this would be true by all averos. And not only that, but the Torah goes out of its way to single out one particular avera, namely avodah zarah. And therefore, we need separate sources to teach me all of this by averos of avodah zarah specifically. So it says the Gemara over there, lo v'ruto chavim el darash to chayav anazon karis v'shagal chat v'shagal chatas. And you need new source, teach me that the same is true, the same requirement that would warrant a karbon, of the fact that the avera would need to be such an avera, that you'd be chayev, b'mezi, kares, and b'shogi chatas, that would also be true for averas of avodah zarah. It's not nami. We have a mission over there on Daf Tes, which says, kol mitzvah shebet Torah, shechayev azdona kares, b'shogi chatas, any mitzvah Torah, that you'd be chayev, kares, if you violated intentionally, and a chatas if violated unintentionally, yachid, maybe kisvo seira. So different people bring different karbonos when they violate them b'shogi. So a yachid, someone who, let's say, follows the Beis Din's incorrect ruling, but just one guy follows it, no one else. So if he realizes that he was following it based on an error, so he himself will bring just a kisva o seira, either a kesev or a seira, female. However, a nasi, let's say a leader, which really the mission over there says refers to a melech. If let's say a melech makes a mistake based on the ruling of the Beis Din, so he brings a different karbon. He brings a sa'ir. He brings a male goat. Mashiach, who Beis Din, if the Kohen Gadol makes a mistake and issue and doing something based on his own ruling, or the Beis Din issues a ruling and most of the tzibor follows that incorrect ruling, mevi'in par, they bring a par. When it comes to Averos of Avodah Zarah, then it's a little bit different. Yachid, Nasi, Mashiach, Mevi, and Seira. So a Yachid individual, a Nasi, a Melech, and a Kohen Gadol all bring a Seira. Again, it's all learned out from Psukim, but it's very different than a regular Avera. And Sibor, Mevi, and Par, Visayir. And as opposed to by regular Averos, the Tzibor only brings a par, by Avodah Zarah, they bring a par and a sa'ir. Why? Par is for the la'ola, which is an ola, that's an offering that's offered kula l'Hashem. The sa'ir l'chatas, and the sa'ir will be l'chatas. So now, minohani mili, what's the source that in the entire sugi and horios, the only Averos, types of Averos, that warrant a karbon, are ones that, if you violate them, b'mezi you get kares, if you violate them b'shogig, you bring a harbon chatas. Where do we know that? Tanur Rabbanan, the Pasuk says, v'noda ha-chatas asher chatu, and keyword, and this is why we're bringing this all up here, aleha, that it became known, the sin, that you sinned on it. So aleha is a little bit extraneous. So Rebbe Omer, again, our initial question was, what does Rebbe do with the word aleha by Achos Yisha? So now we're going to see that he makes a connection to this aleha. It says, Nemar kan aleha, it says over here when it comes to horios and issuing rulings, bishogig, it says aleha, v'nemar l'holon aleha. And by the iser of Achos Isha, which is an iser karis, it also says the word aleha. So therefore, ma l'holon davar shachayav anazon karis v'shigas l'chadas, just like we know with certainty that Achos Isha, a sister-in-law, is one of the arayos, that if one violated it intentionally, he'd be chayav karis. If one violated it unintentionally, he'd be chayev a karbon chatas. And therefore, since the word aleha is used over there, and that's what we're referring to, and the word aleha is used over here, and we don't know what it's referring to, afkan, it must be, it's teaching us that what type of avera that an incorrect ruling is issued on warrants a karbon. Afkan, davar shechayev en azdan makares, lal shegaso chatas. just like we have by Achuz Isha. So that's what Rebbe does with the word Aleha. So now the Gemara just finishes up the sugi over here in Horios. Ashkechon Tzibor, the psukim that taught us the type of avera that one would warrant a karban on, that was referring to a tzibor. If most of the tzibor violates an avera based on an incorrect ruling of Beis Din, but Mashiach Ninon, how do you know that that same hagdara, that same qualification for a type of avera would apply to a Kohen Gadol's ruling as well? Dechsev b'Mashiach, because it says by a Kohen Gadol Mashiach, La'ash mas ha'am, a sin of the nation, har Mashiach kitzibor, it equates his sin to a sin of the entire tzibor, and therefore whatever din applies to the tzibor will also apply to him. Now what about Yochli ben Nasi? How do we know an individual or the melech? How do we know also that the qualification for an avera is the same as that of a tzibor? Asya mitzvos, mitzvos. It says mitzvos by a tzibor. It says mitzvos by Yachid and Nasi. So we can make the comparison and say that they should have the same halacha as a tzibor. Now, like I mentioned before, since the Torah specifically delineates avodah zarah in this context separately, so we need to find separate psukim for avodah zarah and then separate psukim for the rest of the mitzvos, raveros. So that's why, even though now we've basically established psukim to cover all the individuals we mentioned, that's only with respect to 99.9% of the averos. But avodah zarah, since the Torah singles it out, we need a new set of sources. So the same rule applies to avodah zarah, but how do we know that? Tzibor b'avodas kol chavim. How do we know that this also applies to a tzibor by avodah zarah? Yalef me'ene me'ene. It says by both regular mitzvos and averos, and also by avodas kochavim, avodas zara, it says me'ene ha'ida. So we say, just like when it comes to other mitzvos, the hagdara is type of avera that would be zedono karis and shigaso chatas. So too, that would apply to the iser or the avera avodas zara. What about yachid nasi mashiach, an individual, a melech, and a kohen gadol? Im nefesh achas. It says v'im nefesh achas. It has the vav there that links it to what we just said by a tzibor. And therefore, echad yachid v'echad nasi v'echad mashiach mashba. That would include any individual who's just that, an individual. So an individual is an individual, a melech's an individual, and a kohen gadol is an individual. So vav mosif al inyon rishon v'yilmo tachto mina elyon. So since elyon, I mean, earlier we taught tzibor by avodah zarah, we established that based on me'ene, me'ene, that we know a tzibor by avodah zarah is going to have the same halacha as a tzibor by other mitzvos. And then, since we had a vav, ve'im nefesh, it linked the halacha by a yachid, nasi, and mashiach, to that of a tzibor, and therefore it would have the same halacha as the tzibor, and it would be the same qualification for the type of avera that would warrant the karban. Okay, so now the Gemara says, v'rabbanon ha'isvara minolahu. Now, how did they know? How did they know? I mean, again, according to the Rabbanon, Aleha was teaching me something about Achos Isha. So according to Rebbe, Aleha is teaching me that this is the source that the type of Avera that warrants a Karban of Par Halam Davar Shel Tzibor, or Par Halam Davar in general, is it's got to be an Avera that Zidono Karis and Shigaso Chadas. But that's only Rebbe who's able to darshan the word Aleha. But according to the Rabbanon, that already used the word Aleha for something else, so where do they know this whole source of the fact that this is the type of avera that warrants the karban? So the Gemara says, Rabbanu Yisrael min aluhu, nafkalu, they learned it out, midimakre le Rabbi Yeshua lebrei, Rabbi Yeshua taught his son. The pasuk says, Torah achas yelachem loose bishkaga, ve'anefa shesher tase biyad ramah. So we know, the pasuk says, that there's one rule for all those who do an avera bishogig, and then it says, the nefesh that asher tase biyad rama, so therefore it equates huksha kola Torah kula lavodas kochavim. It equates all of the other mitzvos to avodah zarah. And therefore, ma avodas kochavim, just like avodah zarah itself, is the type of avera, shechayav adon akar shechayav zachadas. If a person did avodah zarah b'mezid, he gets kares. If he did avodah zarah b'shogi, he gets zachadas. So, av kol davar shechayav adon akares, According to Rabbanan, the source is the fact that the Torah singles out Avodah Zarah. Why would it do that? It must be. It's telling you this is the prototypical Avera for which warrants a karban if one issues an incorrect ruling b'shogeg. Why is that Avera unique? It's an Avera that's dono kares and shigaso chatas. So too, all Averos that fit that qualification would warrant a karban if a ruling was issued on them b'shogeg. Says the Gemara, Ashkechon yachid v'nasi mashiach. So now, what do I have covered? I have Yochid Nasin Mashiach, a Yochid, a Melech, and a Kohen Gadol. We know the source of that they bring a Karban when it comes to the Israel Avodah Zarah, if they did it incorrect, you know, following an incorrect Psak, or any other mitzvos. However, Tzibor, Pavos Gochavim, Minayin. According to Rabbanan, how do you know that when the Tzibor follows an incorrect ruling in worship of Avodah Zarah, how do you know that they also would bring a karbon? So Amar Kra, V'im Nefesh, it links the Yachid, the Nasi and the Mashiach to the Tzibor, but here we're gonna work it in the reverse. V'yimod Elyon Mitachton. Meaning the Tachton, what it says later on, is the case of the Yachid, Nasi and Mashiach. But here, once we already know that they, the individuals, are only chayav to bring a karban on following an incorrect ruling about an avera that's dono karis and shigaso chatas, so then we learn that ve'im to link back up to the case of tzibor and to say the same should apply to them. Ella, but that's only true. Those psukim are only referring to avodah zarah. So el tzibor b'shar mitzvos minoan. How do you know a tzibor according to the rabbanon by other mitzvos? Yalif me'ine me'ine. We have a hekish of me'ine he'ida, me'ine he'ida. Just like me'ine by Avodah Zarah, we know what it's referring to, a type of avera. So too, by tzibor, by other averos, it would be the same thing. Says the Gemara, the Rebbe, who learned this all out from the word aleha, hay Torah achas me'avidle. I mean, the Rabbanan used Torah achas. But Rebbe, who used aleha, what does he do with Torah achas? Mi'bayle l'chetanya, need it for the following. Now, when it comes to worshiping Avodah Zarah, so we know there's a concept called an Ir Nidachas. If an entire city worships Avodah Zarah, so the city is destroyed. Whereas if one person in a city worships Avodah Zarah, so that person is killed, but nothing else happens. So we know in the Psukim, there's a big difference between whether an individual worships Avodah Zarah or an entire city. Why? Yechidim b'skila. If one person worships Avodah Zarah, so he himself gets the death penalty of stoning. Lofikach mamonon palat. And therefore, because his death penalty is so severe, his money, his possessions are spared. They are not also destroyed with him. However, merubin, if an entire city of Ir Nidachas, if they worship Avodah Zarah, so besayef, which death penalty do they get? They get beheading. Now, beheading's bad. No one's asking for that. It's not a good thing. But it's not as bad as, at least in the levels of chumras, as the Gemara Sanhedrin delineates of the, you know, most severe capital punishments. So the top two are skila and sreifa. Saif is not up there. And therefore, lefikach monad avad, because, so to speak, the Irnidachas is getting off the hook with a lighter death penalty, if one could even say something like that. Therefore, their possessions are destroyed with them. So, because we have a distinction in the Torah of the death penalty between one who worships Avodah Zarah individually versus one who worships Avodah Zarah but Tzibor, so Yachol Nechlok Berkaban Oseyan. So, I would have thought that if an individual worships Avodah Zarah B'Shogeg or a Tzibor worships Avodah Zarah B'Shogeg, they should have different karbanos, just like they have different death penalties. Talmud Omar, Rebbe says, therefore the pasuk tells me, Torah achas yelachem. Meaning, even if an entire city worships Avodah Zarah b'shogeg, they still all bring only a kisvos ira like yechidim. Now Rashi does point out, that's only if an entire city doesn't make up the majority of Klal Yisrael. Obviously, once they have the din of a tzibor, as Gemara and Horios defines what that would equal, but if they are at Tzibor, then obviously they're bringing a different karbon. But what we're saying over here is that just because you have an entire city that does a Avodah Zarah b'shogeg, you would have thought, oh, maybe they should bring a different karbon. Kamash Malan, Torah Achas, they still bring the carbon meshogeg the same as if one individual would bring it, namely a kisvos yira. So maslar of chilkia miagunya he has a kasha. Taima de kazerachmana torah achas yalachem. The reason why, in fact, in Ir Nidachas, a city of worshippers who all worship over the Zara b'shogeg, the only reason why they don't bring their own unique karban, and rather they bring the same karban as the yachid, is because of the pasuk of Torah Achas. Implication being, halav hachi, without the pasuk, hava mina nechlak. The hava mina would be that they would bring a unique, separate karban. So my laisu, what karban would they bring? At this point, many of the Mechronim point out, the Gemara is assuming that when we say they should bring a unique karban, unique means a karban that no one else brings in any context. It would be like newly created for them. So the Gemara says, well, what would they bring? If you tell me, Laisi par, oh, bring a par. But Tzibur b'shar mitzvos hu d'maisi. But the par is already brought by a Tzibur when it comes to other mitzvos. So that wouldn't be unique for this Ir HaNidachas that worship over the Zara b'shogeg. Kisva. Oh, maybe they should bring a kisva. No, yachid b'shar mitzvos d'maisi. But that's what a yachid brings by other mitzvos. Sa'ir, maybe they should bring a male goat. But nasi b'shar mitzvos d'maisi, that's what a melech brings when it comes to other mitzvos. Par, la'ola, b'sar l'chatas. Maybe have to bring a par, la'ola, and sar l'chatas. But that's sibur b'avodas kol chavmu d'maisi. That's what a sibur brings when it comes to the avera of avodah zarah. Ve'elamai si'ira yachid, maybe bring a female goat. No, but yachid nami, hainu karbano. But that's what a yachid brings in general, by shigas maisa, by a regular case, a kisvo si'ira. So therefore, the question is, what's the havamina that this city of Bishogeg Avodah Zarah worshippers should bring a unique karban? What would be a unique karban? Everything else seems to be covered. Says the Gemara, Isterich, Saitai Chamina, Holvet Tzibur Bahora, Maisu Parlo, Olavasir Lachatos. When it comes to a tzibur and avodah zarah, we know that tzibur brings a par for an ola and a sa'ir for the chatas. So maybe in hunami nisu ipcha. Maybe these worshippers b'shogeg of avodah zarah, maybe they will bring the opposite. They will bring a par l'chatas and a sa'ir l'ola. That would be a unique karban that no one else brings. That's one possibility. Inami tzarech ve'in lo takana. Or you could say you're right. I mean, all the carbon possibilities are taken. Therefore, it's not a good thing. A carbon's a good thing because it gives you kapara. To say you can't bring a carbon is telling you you can't get kapara. So maybe these b'shogeg avodah zarah worshippers, because they're supposed to bring unique carbon, but because there's no unique carbon to bring, they're stuck without bringing a carbon. So therefore, Rebbe says, Kamash Molon, Torah Achas Yalachem. They still bring the carbon of a yachid. They do not, in fact, bring a unique carbon, but at least we did have a havamina that either they would bring a flip of what the tzibur would bring by avodah zarah, or they would not bring anything, and that would just be their punishment. Okay, that was all Amud Aleph. Now the Gemara shifts gears, and for the rest of the daf, leading on to Yud Amud Aleph as well, taking up much of that daf as well, the Gemara is going to discuss something very interesting, and that is a suggestion of a 16th case in our Mishnah. If you remember, on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the Mishnah recorded 15 arayos who therefore are putter from Yibam when they fall to someone who they're in arayos for, and also putter their co-wives. So Amar Levi Lurevi. Levi says to Rebbe. Now Rebbe was the one who compiled, Rebbe's Rebuta Nasi, he compiled the Mishnayos. So Levi says to Rebbe, the compiler of the Mishnayos, my Arya the Tana Tesvav, listen to Zion. Why do you only teach 15 arayos in the Mishnah? You should have taught 16. And again, he doesn't explain which 16th should be. So Rebbe's going to pick up on that. So Amar Lei, Rebbe says, Kemeduma li she'in lo moch b'kakado. It appears to me that you don't have a brain in that skull. Very strong language. And this should remind us of the fact that there's a very famous tshuva of the Chavos Yair, Rabbi Yair Bachrach, in Simin Kuf Nun Beis, where he goes through all the places in Shas where the Tanoim and Amoroim seem to use very strong language towards one another. It would even come off as impolite or negative, and he explains how really they were positive, really they were somehow Musar and Chizuk. So let's not get alarmed by the fact that he uses such a strong Lashon. Could be he was giving him Musar in a certain way. So Rebbe says to Levi, what do you want to have as the 16th case? Imo Anusas Aviv? Do you want to have a case of a mother, the rape victim of the father? So what's the case here? So the case is like this. You have a father, let's call him Yaakov. And Yaakov has a son, Reuven. So then, that's with Rachel. Now, Yaakov is ma'anes a woman, he rapes a woman, and he produces a son. And that son is Shimon. So, Shimon and Reuven are half-brothers, they share the same father, Yaakov. Now, for some reason, Reuven decides he wants to marry the rape victim of his father. Okay? So he does that. He goes ahead and marries her, and then Reuven dies without children. So now, in a crazy turn of events, Reuven's wife, who remember was the rape victim of his father, falls to Reuven's brother Shimon, who is, drumroll, her son. She falls to her son. That's what it means. Imo anusas aviv. That who falls to Shimon? His mother, who happens to be the rape victim of his father. So maybe that should be an example where if, in that scenario, this woman who's the mother of Shimon, if she falls to him and she has a Reuven, let's say Reuven had another wife, so why shouldn't that case be in the Mishnah? As an example where that erva, not only isn't Shaykh Tiyim and Chalitza with Shimon because that's her son, but it also pops to the co-wife. So Rebbe says, is that the case you want to say? No. But that itself is a plukta to Rebbe Yehuda v'Rabbananhi. There's a machlokes we had earlier on in Daf Dalid where Rebbe Yehuda said there's an isser of Anusas Aviv. Meaning, how did this even get off the ground? Because Reuven married the rape victim of his father. So the Rabbanan say that you could do that. Rabbi Yehuda says there's an isser of a son marrying the rape victim of his father. So therefore, the whole scenario of this woman eventually falling to her son in Yibam, according to Rabbi Yehuda, could never happen. Because Reuven was never allowed to marry, in the first place, the rape victim of his father. And therefore, only according to the Rabbanan, that case would work, not according to Yehuda. And says Rebbe, "Ubeplukta lo kamayri." When I listed the 15 cases in the Mishnah, I wasn't listing cases of machlokes. I was only listing cases that are universally accepted. Says the Gemara, "Velo, are you telling me, Rebbe, that when you quoted Mishnayos and Maseches Yevamos, you didn't list any cases that have machlokes about them?" I have a iser mitzvah iser kedusha. We have a Gemara later on in Daf Chaf, a Mishnah, which tells us that if you have certain cases which are only Isser D'Rabbanan, like Shnias La'Rayos, which are like once removed relatives, which are only Asser M'D'Rabbanan, or let's say a woman falls, a Mamzeres or a Nesina falls to a man, so that's also only Isser D'Rabbanan. So there you have Machlokes over there, what you should do, whether Chalitz is required or not. And nevertheless, it's a machlokas Rabbi Akiva Rabbanan. Rabbanan say you can do chalitza. Rabbi Akiva has a famous opinion that say that even chayve lavin, which these are, would not be toe-faced. You shouldn't do anything. Viktani. And yet you, Rebbe, quoted these cases in a Mishnah. So how can you tell me, oh, I don't quote cases of machlokas in a Mishnah? But you clearly do. Says the Gemara, Bipirkin ka'amrinan. Says Rebbe, no, I meant only in the first perek. That case in Daf Chaf is already the second perek of Maseches Yevamos. When I said, Rebbe says, there's no machlokas in a Mishnah, that's in the first perek. Now, very interesting. I saw Rav Zilberstein in Chashukei Chemed, he asks, what's the logic of that? Meaning, if you want to say a Mishnah is having no machlokas, fine. But why would you differentiate and say, only in the first perek there's no machlokas in the Mishnayos, but all in the second perek there could be? So he quotes the Tur in Or Chaim Simen Nun, who says that Chazal put Ezehu Makoman after Parshat Tamid in Karbanos
to fulfill the teaching of Rav Safra, that a person should divide his learning, a third Mikra, a third Mishnah, a third Talmud. Beis Yosef comments on this and says that the reason why they chose Ezehu Makoman as the Mishnayos to say in the morning as part of Karbonos is because the entire parak of Mishnayos, there's no machlokes. Rather, it's simply clear from Moshe Misinai. So you see from the Beis Yosef, there's a big maila to having Mishnayos without machlokes. So Zilbzin says, not only are having Mishnayos without machlokes a big maila, but learning Yevamos itself is a big maila. It can save a person from death in the sense that if you learn Yevamos properly, you'll allow women to marry in such a way that they'll never remain an aguna, a chained woman. And in fact, he quotes on the Sefer Birkas Avram, who says that once he was in danger and he davened that he would be able to paskin to be matir and aguna. I mean, this was his tefillah. This is a big maila. So Rav Zilberstein says, perhaps Rebbe wanted the first parak of Yevamos, where Yevamos is such a maila, and Mishnah is not having any machlokas is such a big maila, that at least in the first parak, to combine the maila of Yevamos and the maila of having no machlokas, it seamlessly fits together at least for the first parak. That could be. Now the Maariv Tzchias points out over here that Levi asks Rebbe why there aren't 16 cases in the Mishnah. So, how come Rebbe says v'plukta lo kamayri? Mayri is a lashon of someone else was either referring to or not referring to. If Rebbe was the one who was mistaken the Mishnah himself, says the Maariv Tzchias, why didn't he say v'plukta lo kamayri? I didn't list cases of machlokes. So the Maariv Tzchias says, you see it from here that while Rebbe certainly compiled the Mishnayos and oversaw its compilation, it really is true that many of the Mishnayos were already put together before Rebbe. That's one possibility. The Poros Yosef, one of the Achronim, gives a different answer. He says that line of Plukta lo kamayri, that wasn't Rebbe talking. That was the Gemara answering on behalf of Rebbe, and that's why it used the Lashon of Mayri and not Ayri. Okay, so the Gemara at this point thinks that the reason why Rebbe didn't quote the case of Anusas Aviv is because it's a case of Machlokes, and our Mishnah, Daf Beis, doesn't list cases of Machlokes. Says the Gemara, so you see that there's a Mishnah later on, Daf Yud Gimel, which is in the first Perek of Yevamos, and it's a Machlokes about whether a Tzaras Erva, okay, she might not be able to marry the Yavam Shimon himself. What about Levi, Yehuda? What about other brothers? So Beis Shammai says that actually she's allowed to marry other brothers. Beis Hillel says that Tzaras Erva is usher to all the brothers. So you see there's a machlokes, and yet Rebbe's quoting it in the Mishnah in the first parak. Answers the Gemara, Beis Shammai, B'makom Beis Hillel, Eino Mishnah. That's not a machlokes, because we all know we don't paskin like Beis Shammai. We're talking about a legitimate machlokes where there's validity, where we would legitimately consider and perhaps paskin like either opinion. Whereas Beis Shammai, in relation to Beis Hillel, it's ki'u, there was no machlokes. That's how much we favor Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai. Okay, what about, says the Gemara, the Gemara's not giving up. What about a case that we had in the Mishnah and Daf Beis of an Ishis Achiv, the wife of a brother who wasn't in the world yet? Now let's remember that case. That was a case that Rashi explained in Daf Beis where you have Reuven dies without sons, and you have Rachel, his wife, is about to Yibum with Shimon, and then all of a sudden, after he dies, the brother Levi is born. So at the time when Reuven died, Levi was not in the world. And then, let's say Shimon does Yibum on Rachel, and then years later, Shimon dies without children, so Rachel falls to Levi, which is the brother that was only born after Reuven died. So over there we say that because at the moment Reuven died, Levi wasn't in the world, and we have a pasuk of Ki Yishu Achim Yachtov, that they have to be in the world at the same time to be Shayach to Yibam. So that's how we know that Rachel is always going to be usher to Levi, even though technically she falls to him, Mikoach, Shimon, and not Levi. So over there, that's a big machlokes. It's a machlokes, why? Because we're going to have later on, Daf Yud Ches, that although the Rabbanon holds that in that such a case,
there's no Yibam or Chalitza from Rachel to Levi, Reb Shimon says that she still needs to do Chalitza with Levi. So that's a case in our Mishnah, Daf Beis, it's a Machlokas Reb Shimon and Rabbanan, and nevertheless, Biktani, Rebbe taught that case. So the Gemara answers, Benolad Ulubasof Yibim, Lopalag Reb Shimon. So there's really two scenarios how Eish Zachav Shalai Be'olamo could play out. One case, like I mentioned, is where Reuven dies, Rachel is about to do Yibim with Shimon, so now Levi can either be born before Rachel does Yibim with Shimon, or after Rachel does Yibim with Shimon. So what the Gemara is saying here is, Reb Shimon only argued in a case where Reuven died, Rachel does Yibim with Shimon, and then Levi is born. That's when Reb Shimon said, Chalitza would still be required. However, in a case of Nolad Ulubesof Yibim, if after Reuven died, before Rachel does Yibim with Shimon, Levi is born, and only after Levi is born, then Rachel does Yibim with Shimon, then even Shimon would agree that Rachel and Levi are always asu each other. Because if you think about it, at the moment when Levi was born, Rachel was not with someone else. So she was still very much shayich to Reuven, and therefore he's very much considered an Eish Zachav Shalai Be'olamo, which would make him asur Rachel forever. Okay, so Rebbe's going to get out of it by saying that the case of Eish Zachav Shalai Be'olamo that we're talking about in the Mishnah is not a case of Yibim Ulubusof Nolad, where first Rachel and Shimon had Yibim and then only afterwards Levi was born. Rather, it was a case of no machlokes. It was a case where after Reuven died, Levi was born, and only then Rachel did Yibim with Shimon. Okay, says the Gemara of Ham Raboshia Chol Kayav Reb Shimon Af Rishona. Oh, don't Oshia say that Reb Shimon argues even in a case of Yibim Ulubusof Nolad? Or sorry, in a case of Nolad Ulubusof Yibim, even there Reb Shimon argues. So it is a case of machlokes. Says the Gemara Ha Isosiv Raboshia. Yeah, the Gemara over there in Daf Yud Ches rejects Reb Oshia, so we're not too concerned. Okay, now this next rest of the Amud is really to get to one question on the top of Yud Amud Aleph, and that question is going to be that we see we're quoting a case of Machlokes, but to get there, it's a little bit complicated. So, as background, we have to know that there is a case that we're going to talk about later on in Daf Chav Ches, and that case is where you have the following. You have Reuven and Shimon marry Rachel and Leah. Two brothers marry two sisters. But there are four brothers. There's Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. So Reuven and Shimon marry Rachel and Leah's sisters. And now, unfortunately, Reuven and Shimon both die at the same time. So now Rachel and Leah, that are sisters, they together fall to Levi and Yehuda. The problem is going to be that they can't do Yibum because each one is something called Achos Zikukaso, the sister of a Zakuk. Meaning when both these women fall to Levi and Yehuda, they each have a Zika. That's okay, except that they have a Zika on both of them. So one of them, whatever the Zika is, it is. The other one is the Achos Zikukaso, which is a problem, because a person can't be with his Achos Zikukaso. And therefore, in that case, the Gemara in Chav Ches says, let Levi and Yehuda do Chalitza, each one do Chalitza to one of them. However, what if, in the same scenario we gave, four brothers, Reuben, Shimon, Mary, Leah, Rachel and Leah, Reuben, Shimon die, let's say, in that scenario, Rachel and Leah are each related to Levi and Yehuda in some way. For example, let's say Rachel is Levi's daughter, or Leah is Yehuda's mother-in-law, as crazy as that may sound. So in that scenario, it sounds worse, but it actually comes out better. Because in that scenario, if you think about it, when the two sisters fall to the two brothers, so let's take Levi. So Rachel is Levi's daughter. So obviously, Rachel can't do Yibum with Levi, but why can't Levi do Yibum with Rachel now? Because no longer is Leah Achos Zikukaso. Because Achos Zikukaso means that you're the sister of someone who's Zakuk to Yibum. However, we know since Rachel is related to Levi, she's not zakuk. So because of that, it comes out interesting that when you have one of them being an erva to each, the other one is actually mutter. So you could have like almost a cross. You make an X that, you know, you're going to have Levi be mutter to Leah and Yehuda be mutter to Rachel. So it could work out like that. Okay, that's the background. So says the Gemara, in all 15 cases in our Mishnah, you could have the scenario of Asur Lezeh Mutar Lezeh, Basur Lezeh Mutar Lezeh, as I just described. If Rachel and Leah, after Reuven and Shimon die, fall to Levi and Yehuda, and each one is one of the 15 Arayas in the Mishnah, one of them is that to Levi, one of them is that to Yehuda, so then one will be usher to one and mutter to one, meaning the one that they're an erva to, they're going to be usher. The one they're not an erva to, they could do yibum because they're not even achosik ukaso, and vice versa. So that comes out good that could happen. And then that's one rule. And the second rule is, v'achosa sheyevimta chuletz domus yevemes. In a case where one of them is an erva, let's say Rachel is an erva to Levi, so Leah, who's not even achos gukaso, because she's not the sister of someone who's zakuk, since the her sister is an erva, so she can do chalitza or yibam because she's not achos gukaso. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Matargim, Yehuda says, no, that's only mechamosa ve'elech. The fact that we can apply these rules to the 15 cases in our Mishnah, it's not true by all 15. You can only apply it from case 7 and on. However, aval shisa babi deresha lo, but you cannot apply these rules to the first 6 cases of the Mishnah. My time, oh why? Because what was case number 1? Bito. That was Bito menososo, daughter of the product of a rape victim. So kivin de Bito ba'onse mishkachas v'nisuin lo mishkachas lo. If you think about it, it can't happen that you could have asur lezeh mutar lezeh when it comes to Nisuin, because the whole way that this case got off the ground was that you had Reuven and Shimon who both raped the same woman and each produced a girl, and now essentially they those girls are sisters, and then they marry two guys and they fall to them. That would be Bito Meyonsin, right? That you could have a scenario again. Let's say, I guess, over here, let's use the same names we just used. Let's say Levi and Yehuda were each raped the same woman. And they each had a daughter. Levi had Rachel, and Yehuda had Leah. Now, Rachel and Leah go and marry Reuven and Shimon. And then Reuven and Shimon die. So that's how you have Bito Manusoso that can fall to their father. Problem is, let's say once Levi rapes this woman, whatever her name is, so then we said the case is that Yehuda also rapes her. So no one's advocating for rape, but there wasn't any explicit isser, besides for the isser of rape, of raping the same woman as a person's brother raped. However, if Levi, let's say, married the woman and had Rachel, so then, obviously, Yehuda can't marry that woman also, because that would be Eish Yisach. And therefore, this whole scenario of Asru Lezeh Mutar Lezeh, the only way it plays out is a case where the way that these Rachel and Leah were conceived was through only rape. Because if it was marriage, you wouldn't be able to have two brothers marrying the same woman. And therefore, says Rav Yehuda, in that case, it's only found by rape and not nisuin. And b'nisuin kamayri, b'onsin lo kamayri. When Rav Yehuda Marav, in the name of Rav Chia, said that with all the cases in the Mishnah, we can see the rule of Asur Lezeh Mutar Lezeh, they were only talking about cases that came up that the way you formulate the case is through marriage, but not through cases of rape. And since the case of Bito can only be formulated through a case of rape, that's the only way it actually makes sense. So therefore, those first 6 cases in the Mishnah are not included in that rule of Asur Lezeh Mutar Lezeh, Asur Lezeh Mutar Lezeh. That is Rav Yehuda's statement. Rabbi Matargim, Rabbi says, Af Bito Minusoso, no, you can include it in the rule. Why? Okay, you can't have it in a case of marriage, but ibay mina onsin tahave, ibay mina nisuin tahave. But you could still have it in a case of rape. Meaning, why did the rule have to be limited to cases of marriage? The cases, however they happen, happen. And since you could find a scenario with bito, albeit in a case of rape, so it can be included in the rule. Aval, but says Abaye, ishis achiv shleibo lomo lo. But you can't include the case of ishis achiv shleibo lomo in this rule, my taima. Because kivin the Lord Shimon who demishkachas la, the Rabbanon lo mishkachas la.
Right? Why will this only require Reb Shimon? Because Reb Shimon allows Yibum in a case where Shimon did Yibum on Reuben's wife, and only then Levi was born. So we quote the case earlier, right? You four brothers, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Reuben and Shimon married Rachel and Leah. Reuben dies without kids. Then Yisachar is born. Right? Then Yisachar will be usher to Rachel as an Ishtach Meshav Olamo. Then Levi does Yibman Rachel. Then Shimon dies, who is married to Leah. Then Zvulun is born. Then Leah is usher to Zvulun as an Ishtach Meshav Olamo. Then Yehuda does Yibman Leah. So Leah is mutter to Yisachar, but usher to Zvulun. Now Levi and Yehuda both die. So Rachel, Levi's wife, and Leah, Yehuda's wife, fall to Yisachar and Zvulun. So the wife of Levi is usher to Yisachar, because of Isham Shabbat Lomo, but Mutter Zvulun, because when Zvulun was born, she was already married to Levi. But that only works, according to Shimon, that she's Mutter Zvulun, because of Yibum Lusof Nola as Mutter. According to Rabbanon, in both scenarios, it's Isham Shabbat Lomo, and they would both be usher to do it. So you see that
the whole scenario of Asur Zem Mutar Zeh by Isham Shabbat Lomo only works according to Reb Shimon. And since that's true, since it only works according to Reb Shimon, not Rabbanon, Biplukta lo kamayri, says Abaye, we never said that rule in a case of Machlokes, and since that case of Eshav Shalomo was a case of Machlokes between Reb Shimon and Rabbanon, therefore it's not included in that rule of Asur Zem Mutar Lozeh. For Reb Safra Metargim, Reb Safra explains, Af Eshav Shalomo Mishkachas la b'shisa achem liv der Reb Shimon. The case I just quoted you with six brothers, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, it works according to Reb Shimon, right? V'simanech, how does it work? Mis nolad v'yibim, mis nolad v'yibim, right? Okay, again, let's say it out. Mis, first Reuben dies, then nolad, Yisachar is born, and parenthetically, automatically becomes usher to Rachel as Ishtach Shabbo Lamo, then v'yibim, then Levi does yibum to Rachel, then Mace, meaning Shimon dies. Then Nolad, Zvulun was born. And then parenthetically, Zvulun becomes automatically usher to Leah as an Ishtach Shabbat Olamo. But, another parenthetical, he's Mutter to Rachel, according to Reb Shimon. Because according to Reb Shimon, that's a case of Yibim, Liachach Nolad. Then Yibim, Yehuda does Yibim on Leah. And then Levi and Yehuda die. And Rachel and Leah fall Yisachar and Zvulun. So for Yisachar, he's usher to Rachel, since he's born before Yibim was done to her. But Yisachar is Mutter Leah, because when Yibim was done to her, Yisachar was in the world. And for Zvulun, he's Mutter Rachel, because when he was born, Rachel already had Yibim done to her. But Zvulun's Asher to Leah, since when he was born, Leah did not have Yibim yet. And therefore, according to Reb Shimon, that's how you have Reb Shimon, who says, Asur Lezeh Mutar Lezeh. That works according to Reb Shimon. Not a problem. So, that's fine. Ella, L'Revi, Hani Klale Lesle. Right? Rather, you have to say that he doesn't hold of this rule. What rule doesn't he hold of? Says Rashi, the rule of Rebchia, Hilkach lo mukme masnisin beplukta, ele ben nolo basof yibam divrako. Meaning, you could say he doesn't hold of the rule of Rebchia. Reb Chiya's rule of that every case in the Mishnah has to fit into Asur Lezeh Mutar Lezeh. Why does Rebbe have to agree to what Reb Chiya said about the Mishnah? And therefore, Rebbe's not talking about a case of Machlokes. Again, the implied question was that the fact that Ishtach Shabbat Olamo was a case of Machlokes, so how did Rebbe teach it if it was a case of Machlokes? The answer is no. Who says Rebbe has to subscribe to Reb Chiya's whole rule? According to Rebbe, the case of Ishtach Shabbat Olamo in the Mishnah is a case of Nolad Elo B'Sof Yibim, which works according to everyone. Ravader Karchina Kamed Rav Kana Marshmed Rava. He gives a second answer to explain Rebbe. Is Lo Olam Isle Rebbe Hani Klale? Really, Rebbe holds Rav Chia. Aye, then why did he not want to include as a 16th case Ima Anusas Aviv? If he seems to be including cases of Machlokes, because he included the case of Eishach B'Sheva Ba'olamo, which within Reb Chiya's world was applying to a case where there was a Machlokes. No, V'alikam Arlei, Im Manusas Aviv, B'chad HaMishkachas La, B'tarte Lo Mishkachas La. Remember, there were two rules that we said within Reb Chiya. One rule was, Asur L'Zeh Mutar L'Zeh, that when the two Ervas fall to the two of the four brothers, you're going to have a crisscross. One much of the one much of the other, and one usher to one usher to the other. But the second rule was that when you have two sisters, so one of them is going to be usher, but the other one, because it's not achosik ukaso, because the sister is not zakuk if she's an erva, the other one can do yimer chalitza. But the thing is, when you have a case of imonus aviv, you're never going to be able to have both rules apply. Why? Because I Yaakov shtei achios anos. Let's say Yaakov rapes two sisters, right? Achos la sheyivim t'mishkachas la. So you can have a scenario where two sisters are then going to fall yivim at the same time, and one will be an erva, the other one will be able to yivim because she's not achos gukaso. But ha'asru lazem mutar lo zelo mishkachas. But you will never have a scenario where one's mutter and one's usser, because they're sisters. So it's not going to work. They're both the same arayos. And Eve shtei nachrios on us. If Yaakov rapes two women that are not related to each other, so then asur lazem utar lazem mishkachas la. Again, you can imagine a scenario where one's an erva to one, one's an erva to the other. So that's fine. But achos yevim to mishkachas la. But the whole second rule, which is when two sisters fall to two brothers, so that's not going to play out because two sisters are not falling over here. And therefore, according to the second answer, the reason why Rebbe didn't include Imonusis Aviv in the Mishnah, because it didn't fit into, in order to fit into the Mishnah as 15th case, 15 cases, you have to be able to fit into both rules of Rav Chiya, and Imonusis Aviv, while it could have one or the other, it couldn't have both. Next time we'll quote Rav Ashi, who gives a third reason why Rebbe didn't quote Imonusis Aviv as a 16th case in the Mishnah.